taken for granted and unloved because she doesn't appreciate what he does. The third, she corrects his behavior and tells him what to do as if he were a child. He feels unloved because he doesn't feel admired. Through understanding a woman's primary needs, a man can be more sensitive to and respectful of her needs. The following shows three mistakes men make in relation to a woman's primary emotional needs. The first, he minimizes the importance of her feelings and needs. He makes children or work more important. She feels unloved because he's not devoted to her and doesn't honor her as special. The second, he listens but then gets angry and blames her for upsetting him or for bringing him down. She feels unloved because he doesn't respect her feelings. The third, after listening, he says nothing or just walks away. She feels insecure because she didn't get the reassurance she needs. Many people give up when relationships become too difficult. Relationships become easier when we understand our partner's primary needs. Without giving more, but by giving what is required, we don't burn out. To fulfill your partner, you need to learn how to give the love he or she primarily needs. One of the most difficult challenges in our loving relationships is handling differences and disagreements. Just as communication is the most important element in a relationship, arguments can be the most destructive element, because the closer we are to someone, the easier it is to bruise or to be bruised. For all practical purposes, I strongly recommend that couples not argue. Negotiate, yes. Ask for what you want. Express differences, but don't argue or fight. It is possible to be honest, open, and even express negative feelings without arguing or fighting. By remembering that we're from different planets and developing good communication skills, it's possible to avoid arguments without suppressing negative feelings or even conflicting ideas and desires. It takes two to argue, but only takes one to stop an argument. The best way to stop an argument is to nip it in the bud. Stop talking and take a time out. Reflect on how you're approaching your partner. Try to understand how you're not giving them what they need. Then, after some time has passed, come back, talk again, but in a more loving and respectful way. Time outs allow us to cool off, heal our wounds, center ourselves, before trying to communicate again. Men and women commonly argue about money, sex, decisions, scheduling, values, child rearing, household responsibilities. These discussions and negotiations, however, turn into painful arguments for only one reason. We're not feeling loved. Because women are not from Mars, they don't instinctively realize that conflicting ideas and feelings and desires are a difficult challenge for a man. The closer he is to a woman, the harder it is to deal with differences and disagreements. When she doesn't like something he's done, he feels she doesn't like him. Fulfilling a man's primary emotional needs will diminish his tendency to engage in hurtful arguments. Automatically, he'll be able to listen and speak with much greater respect, understanding, and caring. Most arguments escalate when a man begins to invalidate a woman's feelings and she responds to him disapprovingly. When a man has done something to upset a woman, his instinct is to explain to her why she shouldn't be upset. But when he explains himself, the only message she may hear is that he doesn't care about her feelings. For her to hear his good reasons, she first needs him to hear her good reasons for being upset. He needs to put his explanations on hold and listen to her, understanding her point of view. When he simply starts to care about her feelings, she will start to feel supported. Remember, women need to feel cared for. Men need to feel trusted. This change in approach takes practice, but can be achieved. Generally, when a woman expresses feelings of frustration, disappointment, or worry, every cell in a man's body instinctively reacts with a list of explanations and justifications designed to explain away her upset feelings. A man never intends to make matters worse. His tendency to explain away feelings is just Martian instinct. The most common way women unknowingly start arguments is by not being direct when they share their feelings. For example, when a man is late, a woman may feel, "I don't like waiting for you when you're late," or, "I was worried that something had happened to you." However, when he arrives, instead of directly sharing her feelings, she tends to ask rhetorical questions like, "How could you be so late?" or "Why didn't you call?" When a man hears a question like, "Why didn't you call?" he feels attacked and becomes defensive. She has no idea of how painful her disapproval in that moment is to him. Just as women need validation, men need approval. Most men are ashamed to admit how much they need approval. They may go to great lengths to prove they don't care. But why do they immediately become cold, distant, and defensive when they lose a woman's approval? Because not getting what they need hurts. One of the reasons relationships are so successful in the beginning is that a man receives approval and rides high. But as soon as he begins to disappoint, he's cast out into the doghouse. To treat a man as if he has no good reason for what he does is to withhold the approval she so freely gave at the beginning of the relationship. A woman needs to remember that she can still give approval even when she disagrees. Every relationship has difficult times. They may occur for a variety of reasons, like loss of a job, death, illness, or just not enough rest. At these times, the most important thing is to try to communicate with a loving, validating, and approving attitude. In addition, we need to accept and understand that we and our partners will not always be perfect. By learning successfully to communicate in response to the smaller upsets in a relationship, it becomes easier to deal with the bigger challenges when they suddenly appear. When we are upset or angry, it is difficult to communicate lovingly. At such times, even with the best intentions, talking turns into fighting. In the heat of the moment, we don't remember how to communicate in a way that works for our partner or for us. At times like these, women unknowingly tend to blame men and make them feel guilty for their actions. Instead of remembering that her partner is doing the best he can, a woman could assume the worst and sound critical and resentful. When she feels a surge of negative feelings, it is especially difficult for a woman to speak in a trusting, accepting, and appreciative way. She doesn't realize how negative and hurtful her attitude is to her partner. When men become upset, they tend to become judgmental of a woman and her feelings. Instead of remembering that his partner is vulnerable and sensitive, a man tends to forget her needs and sound mean and uncaring. When he feels a surge of negative feelings, it's especially difficult for him to speak in a caring, understanding, and respectful way. He doesn't realize how hurtful his negative attitude is to her. These are the times when talking doesn't work. Fortunately, there is another alternative. Instead of verbally sharing your feelings with your partner, write her or him a letter. Writing letters allows you to listen to your own feelings without worrying about hurting your partner. By freely expressing and listening to your own feelings, you automatically become more centered and loving. Writing out your negative feelings is an excellent way to become aware of how unloving you may sound, because many times we don't realize how unloving we sound. With this greater awareness, you can adjust your approach. It's easier. In addition, by writing out your negative emotions, their intensity can be released, or at least minimized, making room for positive feelings to be felt again. Having become more centered, you can then go to your partner and speak to him or to her in a more loving way, a way that's less judgmental or blaming. As a result, your chances of being heard and understood, of being accepted, are much greater. Instead of writing down your feelings, you may also choose to do the same process in your mind. Imagine in your mind you are saying what you feel, think, and want, without editing yourself. By carrying on an inner dialogue, expressing the complete truth about your feelings, you will suddenly become free from their negative grip. One of the best ways to release negativity and then communicate in a more loving fashion is to use the love letter technique. There are three aspects or parts to the love letter technique. The first, write a letter expressing your feelings of anger, sadness, fear, regret, and love. The second, write a response letter expressing what you want to hear from your partner. The third, share your letter and response letter with your partner. The love letter technique is quite flexible. You may choose to do all three steps, or you may only do one or two of them. Let's explore a few examples of how to write a love letter. Address the letter to your partner. Pretend that he or she is listening to you with love and understanding. Start with any angry feelings, then sad feelings, then any fearful feelings, then feelings of regret, and then love. Include all five sections in each letter. Write a few sentences about each feeling. Keep each section approximately the same length. Speak in simple terms. After each section, pause and notice the next feeling coming up. Write about that feeling. Do not stop your letter until you get to the love. Be patient and wait for the love to come out. Sign your name at the end. Take a few moments to think about what you need or want, and then write it in a PS. Use this guide in writing your love letters. In each of the five sections, a few helpful lead-in phrases are included to help you express your feelings. You may use just a few of these phrases or all of them. Generally, the most releasing phrases are, I'm angry, I'm sad, I'm afraid, I'm sorry, I want, and I love. However, any phrases that assist you in expressing your feelings will work. It usually takes about 20 minutes to complete a love letter. Here's a sample love letter that will help you understand the technique. Jim was leaving the next morning for a business trip. That evening, his wife, Virginia, attempted to create some intimacy. She brought a mango into their bedroom and offered him some. Jim was preoccupied reading a book in bed and briefly commented that he wasn't hungry. Virginia felt rejected and left. Instead of coming back and complaining about his rudeness and insensitivity, she wrote a love letter. After writing this letter, Virginia, feeling more accepting and forgiving, went back into the bedroom and said, This is our last night before you leave. Let's spend some special time together. Jim put down his book, and they had a delightful, intimate evening. Writing a love letter gave Virginia the strength and love to persist more directly in getting her partner's attention. She did not even need to share her love letter with her partner. This is her letter. Dear Jim, Level 1, Anger. I'm frustrated that you want to read a book, and this is our last evening together before you leave. I'm angry that you ignore me. I'm angry that you don't want to spend this time with me. I want to feel you love me. Level 2, Sadness. I'm sad you don't want to be with me. I feel like you wouldn't even notice if I wasn't here. I don't feel special. Level 3, Fear. I'm afraid you don't even care. I'm afraid you don't like me. Level 4, Regret. I feel so embarrassed wanting to spend time with you when you don't even care. I feel embarrassed getting so upset. I'm sorry if this sounds demanding. I'm sorry I stopped trusting your love. And level 5, Love. I do love you. That's why I brought the mango. I wanted to spend some special time together. I forgive you for being so indifferent to me. I understand that you were in the middle of reading something. Let's have a loving and intimate evening. I love you. Virginia. P.S. The response I would like to hear. I love you, Virginia, and I always want to spend a loving evening with you. I'm going to miss you. Writing a response letter is the second step in the love letter technique. Once you've expressed both your negative and positive feelings, taking an additional 3 to 5 minutes to write a response letter can be a healing process. In this response letter, you will write the kind of response you would like to have from your partner. Imagine your partner is able to respond to your hurt feelings, the ones you expressed in your love letter. Write a short letter to yourself, pretending it is your partner writing it to you. Include all the things you would like to hear from your partner about the hurts you have expressed. The following lead-in phrases can get you started. Remember, this is a letter you're writing, but pretending they're saying it to you. Use these kinds of phrases. Thank you for. I understand. I'm sorry. You deserve. I want. I love. Sometimes writing a response letter is even more powerful than writing the love letter. Writing out what we actually need increases our openness to receiving the support we deserve. In addition, when we imagine our partners responding lovingly, we actually make it easier for them to do so. Some people are very good at writing out their negative feelings, but have a hard time finding the feelings of love. It's especially important for these people to write a response letter and explore what they would want to hear in return. Be sure to feel your own resistance about letting your partner support you. This gives you an added awareness about how difficult it must be for your partner to deal lovingly with you at such times. Sometimes women object to writing response letters. They expect their partners to know what to say. They have a hidden feeling that says, I don't want to tell him what I need. If he really loves me, he'll know. In this case, a woman needs to remember that men are from Mars, and they really don't know what women need. They need to be told. And gradually, over time, they'll learn. Sometimes women ask me, if I tell him what I want to hear, and he starts saying it, how do I know he's not just saying it? I'm afraid he might not really mean it. This is an important question. If a man doesn't love a woman, he will not even bother to give her what she needs. If he even attempts to give a response similar to her request, then most likely he is really trying to respond. If in the beginning he doesn't sound fully sincere, it's because he's learning something new. It's awkward. Learning a new way of responding is awkward. To him, it may feel weak. This is a critical time. He needs lots of appreciation and encouragement. He needs feedback telling him he's on the right track. Sharing your love letters is important for the following reasons. It gives your partner an opportunity to support you. It allows you to get the understanding you need. It helps couples to start talking again when communication breaks down. And it teaches us how to hear negative feelings in a safe way. To receive more love, we need to have people in our life with whom we can openly and safely share our feelings. A loving and supportive group can do wonders to help us more easily get in touch with our deeper feelings. To share your feelings with a group means there are more people available to give you love. I hope you will use this love letter technique because I've witnessed it transform the lives of thousands of people, including my own. As you write more love letters, it becomes easier and works better. It takes practice, but it's worth it. When you want to feel better, write a love letter. If you're not getting the support you want in your relationships, a significant reason may be that you don't ask enough, or you may ask in a way that doesn't work. Asking for love and support is essential to the success of any relationship. If you want a GET, then you have to ASK. If you want to get more, you have to ask more. Both men and women have difficulty in asking for support. Women, however, tend to find it much more frustrating and disappointing to ask for support than men do. On Venus, their motto is, "Love is never having to ask." She may even purposefully not ask as a test to see if he really loves her. To pass the test, she requires that he anticipate her needs and offer his unsolicited support. This approach to relationships with men doesn't work. Men are from Mars, and on Mars, if you want more support, you simply have to ask for it. In the beginning of a relationship, if a woman doesn't get the support she wants, she then assumes he's not giving because he has nothing more to give. She patiently and lovingly continues to give to him, assuming that sooner or later he'll catch up. He assumes, however, he is giving enough because she continues to give to him. Eventually, she may ask for his support, but by this time she has given so much more and feels so much resentment that her request is really a demand. Men do not respond well to demands and resentment. Even if a man is willing to give support, her resentment or demands will lead him to say no. Demands are a complete turnoff. The first step is to practice asking for what you're already getting. Become aware of what your partner's already doing for you, especially the little things. Begin asking him to do the little things he already does. Then when he does these little things, give him a lot of appreciation. In this first stage, don't expect him to offer his support. It's important not to ask for more than what he's used to giving. Allow him to become used to hearing you ask for things in a non-demanding tone. Just as a woman who is upset doesn't want to hear a list of reasons and explanations about why she shouldn't be upset, a man doesn't want to hear a list of reasons about why he should fulfill her request. Simply be direct. An indirect request makes a man feel taken for granted or even controlled. One of the most common mistakes in asking for support is the use of the words "could you" or "can you" in place of "would you," "will you." To a man, it makes a big difference if you say "could you empty the trash" versus "would you empty the trash." To him, he'd much prefer to hear "would you empty the trash." The hardest thing of learning to ask is remembering how to do it. Try using the W words whenever possible. It will take a lot of practice. Be direct, be brief, and use "would you" or "will you" phrases. Be aware of how many times you don't ask for support. Become aware of how you ask and when you do. Remember to be brief and direct. Then give him lots of appreciation and thanks. Don't let anything be taken for granted. When he's used to hearing you ask for his support without wanting more, he feels loved in your presence. He feels he doesn't have to change to get your love. At this point, you can now risk asking for more. Let him realize that he can say no and still receive your love. When he feels that he can say no when you ask for more, he will feel free to say yes or no. Keep in mind that men are much more willing to say yes if they have the freedom to say no. Once you can graciously accept a no, you are ready to assert your full power to get what you want. You ask for his support, and if he starts making excuses and resists your request, you don't say okay. In this third stage, you practice making it okay that he resists, but continue waiting for him to say yes. The art of assertive asking is to remain silent after you've made a request. After you've asked, expect him to moan or groan or scowl or growl or mumble or grumble. I call all of these the grumbles. When a man grumbles, it's a good sign. It means he's trying to consider your request versus his needs. You may be asking yourself why men are so sensitive about being asked for support. It's not because men are lazy, but because men have a greater need to feel accepted. Any request to be more or to give more makes him feel that he's not accepted just the way he is. By learning to ask correctly for support, in the Martian way, you not only help him to feel more loved, but you also ensure that you'll get the love you need and deserve. One of the paradoxes of loving relationships is that when things are going well and we're feeling loved, we may suddenly find ourselves emotionally distancing from our partners or reacting to them in unloving ways. It's surprising. One day, you're loving, patient, accepting, and then the next day, you become demanding or dissatisfied. Your partner does something loving for you, and you find yourself resenting them for all the times in the past when he or she ignored you. Or you're attracted to your partner, and then when he or she makes a commitment, you lose your attraction, or you find others more attractive. You feel good about yourself or your life, and then suddenly you begin feeling unworthy or abandoned or inadequate. These sudden shifts are confusing, yet they're common. If we don't understand why they happen, we may think we're going crazy, or we may mistakenly conclude our love has died. Fortunately, there's an explanation. Love brings up our unresolved feelings. Whenever we're loving ourselves more or being loved by others, repressed feelings tend to come up. They come up to be healed and released. If we can successfully deal with those feelings, then we can feel much better and enliven more of our creative and loving potential. If, however, we get into a fight and blame our partner instead of healing our past, we just get upset and then suppress the feelings again. For years, we have suppressed our painful feelings. Then one day, we fall in love, and love makes us feel safe enough to become aware of those feelings. Love opens us up, and we start to feel our pain. When a man's past comes up, he generally heads for his cave. He tends to be overly sensitive and needs a lot of acceptance, a lot of space. When a woman's past comes up, her self-esteem crashes. She descends into her well of feelings, and she needs a lot of tender, loving care. This insight helps you to control your feelings when they come up. Understanding how the feelings of the past come up gives us a greater understanding of why our partners react the way they do. It's part of the healing process. As you grow more intimate in your relationships, love increases. As a result, deeper, more painful feelings may come up that need to be healed. Deep feelings like shame and fear. To heal them, we need to share them. But we're too afraid to reveal what we're feeling. At such times, we may feel depressed, anxious, bored, resentful, or simply exhausted for no apparent reason. These are all symptoms of our stuff coming up and being blocked. When deep feelings come up, we project our feelings onto our partner. It is a paradox. Because you feel safe with your partner, your deepest fears have a chance to surface. When they surface, you become afraid and unable to share what you feel. When this happens, the feelings that are coming up get stuck. This is why people with even very loving relationships may inevitably need the help of a therapist. Understanding how our past continues to affect our relationships frees us to accept the ebb and flow of love. To be successful in our relationships, we must accept that sometimes our hearts are full and at other times empty. We must not expect our partners to always be loving or even to remember how to be loving. We must also give ourselves the gift of understanding and not expect to remember everything we've learned about being loving. The process of learning requires not only hearing and applying, but also forgetting and then remembering again. Throughout this tape, you've learned things your parents could not teach you. They did not know. But now that you do know, please be realistic. Give yourself permission to keep making mistakes. Give your partner permission to keep making mistakes. Integrating this new wisdom of having loving relationships is a new challenge. You are a pioneer. Expect to be lost sometimes. Expect your partner to be lost. Use this guide as a map to lead you through uncharted lands again and again. Next time you're frustrated with the opposite sex, remember, men are from Mars and women are from Venus. Even if you don't remember anything else from this tape, remembering that we're supposed to be different will help you to be more loving. By gradually releasing your judgments and blame and persistently asking for what you want, you can create the loving relationships you want, need, and deserve. You have a lot to look forward to. May you continue to grow in love and light. Thank you for letting me make a difference.